Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
911 emergency.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast. That really fast. That was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to spice it up a little bit.
Spicy.
We are here. I don't know what to say.
That is June. That is June in quarantine. We're here.
Yep.
I guess.
Are we thriving? No. Are we here? Yes.
I mean, it's May 27th. Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Who knew we'd still be here? I know. I love how we thought that this would be like a little 2-week respite from real life. And I don't know why we thought that.
I know. Now going to the, like, going outside to go to the store is the respite from our real life, our reality.
Truly.
Yeah.
I know. I'm going to go pick up a prescription today. Wow.
I was jealous of you when you said that. I hope you know. I was like, ugh, she has plans.
I went to CBS yesterday, you guys, and I partied. I took a walk and I was like, I'm going to CBS. I just bought things I didn't need. I was just like, I need to feel something. I bought like a foot pumice. I bought like just weird like stuff. Like I almost bought like concealer and I was like, well, I don't need to buy makeup right now, even though I did spend like, you know, you spend like 30 minutes in the makeup aisle just for no reason.
Just to oh yeah.
Imagining a new life where you wear blue eyeshadow. Yeah. Like that was me.
Yes. I need to feel the rush I can only feel of buying stupid shit I don't need.
Oh, I left there with ice cream, a loofah.
Excellent.
Those are all essential workers in my mind.
Yes.
Especially the ice cream. I know. I bought a bandana because I was like, ooh, maybe I can be one of those people that tries to make the bandana mask work. And I have no idea how to fucking maneuver.
I've started doing that.
To sew it? Or you mean just to tie it around your face?
No. You know how like they made them with like you put hair ties on them or something and you tuck it?
It's pretty easy.
I can't figure that out.
Okay.
I know. I'm trying to avoid Googling because I was like, I should be able to figure this out.
Oh. Well, that's why you can't figure it out. It's not really, no, it's like a test for you. No, it's not like really that intuitive. I feel like just Google it and you'll do it right away.
I feel like science, though, I should be able to figure out, like, if these have to go behind my ears, which way does the mask have to go? And I can do it if there's, like, big old pieces hanging out, but I know there's, like, a tuck-in way to make it look pretty.
It's very Drag Race. You should be getting tips from that. You have to tuck and you're good. Yeah.
I need to tuck a hoe. Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is... Isn't that one of the cities like that we're in something today?
There's a lot of weird stuff going on today.
I wanted to throw that in. Yeah. But yeah, man, I partied at CVS and it was a fucking highlight. It was a dream.
Honestly,
I wandered.
Rager.
I wandered. I was so like, my mask was on and I felt so gross under the mask, but I was like, I just don't want to be home. I'd rather sweat under this mask and party at CVS than, you know.
It be like that sometimes.
It do be like that sometimes.
And also, you know what it do be like? Not usually. Usually our tangents never really come to theme on the podcast besides this week.
Oh my God, I know. Yeah. It was so perfect.
Usually, yeah, I feel like our podcast is like we have the crimes and the scandals, and then we have like the sub story of our podcast, which is, you know, the bathing suits, the musical medleys,
grilled
Sarah's
cheese.
Dating.
Yeah,
JoJo,
Real Housewives.
Yes,
Real Housewives, and always all roads lead back to Hillary Duff.
Yes,
this is true.
Whew, when I saw she was trending, as I'm sure we all did, I thought we did. I was like, numbers be up.
I was like, we did it. Yes, people will find
us. Or like, did she release new music?
Yeah. Did she send us a cease and desist?
Yeah.
That's next what? Up.
I'm well, sure. I feel like because now that she will be in the mindset of sending cease and deceases, because I don't know if that's my cute way of saying it. I should be.
Oh, got it.
Deceases.
Trademark that shit.
Trademarked. So we all kind of lost our mind and screamed when we saw that she was trending for a reason that kind of correlates to our podcast.
Right.
It does. And we were actually going to do an entire episode on this group / conspiracy theory that Hillary Duff got wrapped up in. But then we just decided that it was like, honestly, too crazy for even us to cover, which is saying something.
Like, yeah, it's like creepy and it's too political and it's just like, yeah, like I think I freaked out text that was like, I don't want to do this guy. It's just, it's so much in the propaganda.
And it's involved, like no conspiracy theory, except for the moon one. I feel like no conspiracy theory is ever like A to B to C. It's always like A to Z to X to Q to that symbol of Elon Musk's kid's name. Like, and you're like, what the hell is happening? So no.
Right. We're talking, of course, about QAnon. And if you don't know about QAnon, they are kind of like this very, very alt-right conspiracy group that believe that there are children underneath Central Park that have been sex trafficked. And
what?
And by celebrities. Trump,
yes, by celebrities. Yeah, because the celebrities...
I didn't know that they were under the park.
Yeah, they're under the park. That's why the tents were in Central Park, because that's how they were bringing the children up. That's also why the Mercy ship came, because it was going to take...
Okay,
helping. Exactly. So this is why we were like, general, fuck it, we're not doing this.
That's like one specific. Like I think in general, they're just basically this group that they believe that the rich and powerful are child molesters, which I would believe. But then where they lose me is they believe that President Trump of all people is waging war against them secretly. So I'm like, you got me 50-50 on that, but ultimately it's a no.
That Trump was elected to free all these children.
I'm good. Yeah, Trump had a 14-year-old accuse him of sexual assault, like Trump.
I mean, truly, 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 truly. And they have, there's even like, there's a few like influencers that, I don't, there's a couple like lifestyle bloggers that like, also believe in this. So they've been like going crazy.
My friend actually like wrote this story for Huffington Post about it. And she interviewed a bunch of, like these influencers who are
might have been the one I read. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jesslyn Cook. Anyway, yeah, like she's awesome. But she wrote this like entire in-depth piece for Huffington Post about these like lifestyle influencers who are like also conspiracy theorists in this QAnon theory.
They're posting like QAnon stuff. Yeah, it's so funny because they'll be like they'll post like vegan mayonnaise beet sandwich, the best thing you'll ever have. And then the next slide is like, you guys, the children are under the ground and they're being trafficked and we've got to save them. And the next one is like, buy this romper, and you're like, what the fuck is your, what's happening?
Hashtag ad.
And what's your like, theme?
What's your brand?
You're so off brand. No, obviously they have a lot of traction, but where
it's a lot of stuff.
People get taken down and people believe a lot of things, but the one, I love how all the nation came together to put out one of their rumors very fast.
Yes, they did.
They tried to cancel Hillary Duff, and we all know that is just impossible.
She's uncancelable.
It cannot be done. Well, I don't want to say that because once we put that into the universe.
That's actually so true.
Oh, no.
I don't like it. I don't want to jinx it.
We don't want
I just feel like she's already gotten through the worst years of like many of those people, the Disney stars.
She got through her 20s.
When she was young. She got without being super nuts. I mean, she probably had sex with like Chad Michael Murray as they all did, you know, but like.
Yeah. I mean, she did have like a racist Halloween costume not that long ago, but other than that.
Okay.
Hill.
Yeah, see, you guys don't even know about it because we love her so much.
That's so true.
And she seems so normal.
Yeah, so she seems so normal. And right now she's kind of just full on mom mode. So, but what happened is over Memorial Day weekend, her name was trending on Twitter due to this theory by QAnon that she was involved in child sex trafficking.
God.
The thread was based on quote unquote facts because Hillary posted a selection of like family, like printout photos that you get from like truly Walgreens. All around, and in one photo, her son Luca was naked.
I didn't look at the photos, but this one of our fans/friend AJ told me that there was like in one of the pictures, like, there was, like, some kind of squiggly lines, which, like, just looks like typical scrapbook paper or something like that.
It's TJ Maxx paper.
Right, but, like, these QAnon people think that it's a symbol of, like, QAnon slash the Illuminati, like, but
they look maybe for symbols a squiggle. Everywhere. They think that whenever Trump, like, moves his hands in press conferences, like, that he's spelling out QAnon.
I can like, see that.
They find it's like the true conspiracy that they let's like get, look for everything.
Let's get like someone to trace his hand movements like the Disney Channel original movie when you're like, hi, I'm Hillary Duff and you're watching Disney Channel. You draw the Mickey Mouse.
Like that was her spelling QAnon.
Yeah.
But yeah, so people saw, they said that they saw those symbols and then there was a picture of her like naked son, which she covered up. She was like, oh, we covered it up with a sticker because that's weird. Whole situation. I mean, kind of, you just think like sign sealed. Okay, she had a picture of her kid. Like, I think she was like, he had a rash on, so I don't know if
kids
it was like,
kids be naked.
Kids
fucking hate clothes. Really be. Met a kid? They hate clothes.
I hate clothes.
You've never wear a child.
No,
they never have clothes on and they have sharp fingernails.
And what I like too is that instead of
Casey's coming in hot with takes on kids.
Let me tell you about kids, they hate clothes and their fingernails suck.
What I like too, I'm sure she did talk to a publicist, but I like that she just kind of like took this issue head on and took to her Twitter. Like,
no.
Yeah, she was like, and then she was like, everyone bored AF right now. I love that she used AF. She was like, but this is actually disgusting. Whoever dreamed this one up and put this garbage into the universe should take a break from their damn phone. Maybe get a hobby. Get a hobby, Jill.
I know, but Hill, their hobby is conspiracy theory. So they get another get a second hobby. Knit.
Get a side hustle.
Crush it. Get a side hustle.
A less scary hobby.
Truly.
Go to CVS.
I think go to CVS. This episode is brought to you by CVS.
Party at CVS, my friends. They've got big old bags of Haribo. It's just like shit's happening over there. It was pretty fun.
But that's what I do kind of like, that even like, I feel like whenever a celebrity rumor goes around, it picks up at least some steam on like blogs and stuff like that. And people are like, maybe. But this one, every single article is like, they only took her side. Like no one was like, So I'm glad that our girl.
I'm sure that all the QAnon people believe it, but like.
Oh, yeah.
But everyone that we would care about is like, this is obviously nonsense.
You know what? We'll make them watch the Lizzie McGuire movie. And then that will.
And they'll take it all back.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll make you fund the reboot that is on hold.
On hold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But she has a younger spinoff happening. So that,
that's
really.
True.
I'm so excited for that.
She's doing great.
She's doing so well.
She squashed the rumors. Everybody knows she's great.
Everyone knows she's great.
Minus the racist costume, I guess, a couple years ago. But hopefully she learned.
Hopefully. As
I think Alana she did learn. Say,
you live, you
learn. Yeah. You live, you learn. Yes.
Well, exactly. I feel like that's about as deep as we're going to get into that because, like, there's some rabbit holes I don't want to go down, and this is, like, definitively one of them.
And that's also what their thing is, going down the rabbit hole. That's, like, their code word. Like, they talk about.
Well, that's not fair. You can't appropriate our term.
I know.
It's a true crime term. Leave us alone.
Well, they also think that if you look at the molecular makeup of COVID, and draw trace it, it's a bunny.
No.
Which I've looked at.
What does that have to do with anything?
Because their whole thing is rabbit holes, like going down the rabbit hole. Like, ooh, I went to the rabbit hole means that they like look. I'm telling you, the theories that they have are where they think that celebrities eat the adrenal glands of the children to stay healthy, and they're all going through withdrawals right now.
Okay, listen, it's not that deep. It's just Botox. Is this serious? I'm going to get fucking flamed, like, if someone gets a hold of this podcast, but. Actually, one time I did have some random woman like DM me like alt-right conspiracy memes, but it wasn't even in an aggressive way. Okay. At first, I was like, wait, what? And then I like looked into it and I was like, oh, this is obviously nonsense. And then I just blocked her.
Didn't we get an email from like a Trump supporter that was like, hey, do you guys want this like merch? And it was like Trump merch or something.
Yeah.
Like that
was hilarious. Yeah.
And we were like,
they wanted us to promote their like babes for Trump or some shit like that. And we were like, ooh, not your audience, but
not our brand
for the reach out,
but like hope you find your babes.
Hope you find your babes.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Well, I was going to say, well, while we are waiting for Hilary Duff to have her younger spinoff and our Lizzie McGuire spinoff, we are getting a new TV show. And I kind of like how it's sort of like, it's funny because it's like how Sweetgreen made plates, but it's just their salads on a plate. This is what Dirty John is making, a new show called Dirty John Betty, even though Dirty John was its own crime, but they're right. Making Dirty John Betty. So you can have a
like colon Betty. Like, I don't understand why they would do that. Even why not like Dirty Betty? Ew, that sounds bad.
I know.
What's the
I
get name? That's,
or the Broadricks. That's a great name for
the Broadricks. But they probably are just trying to make this like a continual thing, so they feel like they have to stay on brand. But you're right, and they probably did like throw around. They probably did throw around Dirty Betty. They're like, that sounds like a sex term.
It sounds like a porno. Yeah. The other thing like, is,
I think
too,
I saw that porn.
These have, I don't. This has nothing to do with Dirty John. No. Like, I don't even get it at all. Like, he was a con man. This woman is not.
It's in California, so
I know.
Right.
I think
just
they
call
just
it California.
Well, I think they'll all probably be in California because the whole Dirty John thing started as the LA Times story.
I do love
and
the
so
LA
did
Times.
This one. Yeah. Which they wouldn't. Apparently, they've got a vendetta against me and my Mac because I couldn't read any of these articles and you guys could.
What happened is you probably read one LA Times article like 3 weeks ago and they were like, nah,
that's what
she's
I saw.
Done.
Yeah,
maybe you like read it for like last week's topic thing. Or something. Oh, because last week, that reporter who kept sending all the blood to the Young Living health clinic was, I think, LA Times.
Yeah.
Something
they're out to get us. Somebody please crowdfund our LA Times subscription. Honestly.
It's like $1 for like 3 years, but honestly, out of principle, I'm not gonna pay it.
I'm like, I won't pay for that.
Out of bitterness.
I signed into Robbie's New York Times too, and I think he's like, it's $2. And I'm like, I know, but why don't we just share?
Sharing is caring.
Yeah.
$2 is what I used to party at CBS. I hate a paywall. I hate
it's like a pack
paywall.
Of gum a year. Like, come on.
Yeah, but I do think, I feel like Dirty John, I feel like that's like a catchy thing that they're like, let's just, because that was like a good name for
Dirty John.
It was excellent.
Yeah.
And now it makes no sense. So Dirty congrats, John, you did it. Yeah. And it's also on like a new network now. Like it's,
USA,
I'm just kind of like,
I know,
just
it moved,
rebrand.
It moved to USA, which I mean, is kind of,
it's LOL.
It's the trashier version of Bravo and all of those. Like,
what
USA.
I was gonna say, I feel like USA is where all the SVU marathons live. It makes a lot more sense.
But it's like, you, they start on NBC, then they go to USA. Like, this girl was like, you're in Dirty John Betty, and she's like, well, will I be on Bravo? They're like, no, you'll be on USA. And she's like,
you'll be on USA. What will the, I also wonder what like the next one will the next one be called, like Dirty John Betty Bruce or whatever, like, are they just gonna keep
Dirty John
to this?
Dirty John Bill, like, what are they gonna
Dirty
do?
Dirty John Betty John again, I don't know.
It's yeah, just, it's crazy.
But I'm so excited that it's coming out. I'm interested in the story.
I'm pumped, yeah.
Yeah, it's a
especially
it's a pretty
it's
good
got a
story.
Yeah, and it's got Amanda Peet and Christian Slater, who are, you know,
you love it.
I love to see people making a USA comeback.
Yes, me too. So Dirty John Betty, we should just give it a new name. But anyway, it's going to be telling the story of Betty Broderick. So we wanted to go into what happened, like, before/when the show comes out. We thought it'd be fun.
We
thought it'd be fun.
And it's a good, okay. It's an interesting,
it's
like I said, it's kind of,
it's pretty
dry,
juicy.
But there's a lot of gems in there.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, born on November 7th, 1947, as Elizabeth Ann Biseglia.
I think you know
Biseglia. I don't know. Those are the two options.
I think Biseglia.
Biseglia is probably how you would, like, I'm guessing that this is, like, an Italian name, so that's how probably Americans would pronounce it. So let's go with that. It doesn't matter. It's not going to come up again. Because now we know her as Betty Broderick. She grew up in Eastchester, New York. I think I read it was Bronxville.
That's like a, like, I think East Chester is like a part of Bronxville, I thought I read, but
yeah. That I don't know any geography past Manhattan. And she was a third of six children. Her parents were devout Roman Catholics, and they were apparently very strict. Betty said that she was trained to act like a housewife since day one. She told Lexicon that she would, quote, go to Catholic schools, be careful with dating until you find a Catholic man. Support him while he works. Be blessed in your later years with beautiful grandchildren. But the other interesting thing was she would later say to the LA Times that, like, her mom had never taught her how to be a housewife and how to clean or take care of a home.
That's weird.
So she didn't really have, like, and when she got married, she said that she was just kind of, like, dumped into marriage and didn't know what to do. But she graduated from the College of Mount St. Vincent in the Bronx, where she got a degree in childhood education. And then in 1965, she met Dan Broderick, who was the eldest son in a large Catholic family, similar to her family. They met at a Notre Dame football game, where Dan was going to school. Apparently, he introduced himself to her on a napkin and wrote, Daniel T. Broderick III, MDA, for a medical doctor, almost, because I think at this time he was studying at Cornell.
Right before then.
Oh, right before then? Okay. And also, apparently, she had told, I think Amy Wallace is the woman who wrote the giant investigative, like, LA Times piece, and then also she would write a follow-up for LA Mag. And she said that, Betty said that, at first she was like, ew, and thought Dan was, like, a total nerd and didn't like him at all, but he kind of, like, kept persisting. So then they started dating, like, eventually after she, I don't know, pulled her head out of her butt and was like, hey, it would be good to date a doctor. And then they quickly got engaged. And at this time, Dan was attending Cornell Medical School in New York. And they got married on April 12th, 1969. Had a honeymoon. All was good. They returned home and Betty became pregnant with their first child, Kim. She held down jobs while being a mother, which she stated was her only ambition. I think that she was actually teaching right up until the time that she gave birth.
Yeah.
And then they would have four more kids, a daughter, Lee, two sons, Daniel and Rhett, and an unnamed boy who died 2 days after birth.
Oh, sad.
Yes.
So, you know, seemingly they're married, they're a good Catholic family. They've got four kids. But things definitely were not as cheeky and rosy as they may seem, as all, you know, marriages have problems. They kind of started to go through some rough times because even though, it was Dan, he was going to medical school. He wanted to combine his medical degree with a law degree. So he enrolled in Harvard Law School. So he's going to more school. Since he was primarily a student at this time, Betty kind of had to pick up the slack when it came to providing for the family. So essentially she was the one that was kind of making the money to support these four kids and themselves while he was in school. And this comes into play later in the trial. It kind of became a big thing. Mm-hmm. In 1973, Dan ended up graduating from law school and he immediately got a job at a firm in the La Jolla area of San Diego, which is a very nice area of San Diego.
It is super nice.
By the way,
yeah, I would write about it all the time when I worked for like this luxury lifestyle magazine in San Diego and like everything was La Jolla.
Ooh. Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. Dan became a successful medical malpractice attorney. Why can't I say that word? A successful medical malpractice attorney. Jesus, Casey. They struggled for a bit, but he finally, I think, ended up getting like $1 million case that ended up.
Yeah.
Kind of propelling them into a new bracket, if you will, a new tax bracket.
What an overachiever. He got an MD and a JD. Like, get out.
I mean, he went to Notre Dame, Cornell, and Harvard. I mean, that just seems excessive.
Like, and they're all
pick one.
Yeah.
It's just, it's also like, are you, like, I don't like school. Like, how could you go to three hard ones? Like, you're going to go to three hard ones.
Not even one easy one.
Not even like a Cal State, Dan? Can I get a Cal State, Dan? Jesus. So, but before he got this $1 million case, before he became kind of successful, he wasn't making a ton of money. So our girl Betty, I mean, in true crime fashion, bitch was selling Tupperware and she was selling Avon. I mean, this was the original Young Living. This is the original.
She was freaking out there.
She was out there. She was trying to do stuff. She was just a mom hosting parties, selling her products. By 1982, Dan, though, was gaining success and he ended up working for himself. He hired himself, of course, as you do if you're a successful malpractice lawyer, a 21-year-old assistant slash secretary named Linda Colquena, a former Delta Airlines flight attendant.
How is she a former flight attendant at 21? I do not want an 18-year-old having to save me in a freaking plane crash.
Well, I guess in 80s,
their lung capacity is probably good. Yeah. Yeah. You can still like smoke on planes back then.
Yeah, you're right. Not the best time to fly.
And apparently as early as, so he hires her in 1982 and apparently as early as 1983, I mean, yeah, she's 21. He's gonna look at her boobs and stuff. Like apparently as early. Yeah. This is why you don't hire the hot nannies. Okay.
Sorry, Jeff Lowe.
Jeff Lowe, God. Apparently as early as 1983, October of 1983, Betty was like, I think there's something going on between you and Linda. She suspected that they were having an affair. And he would go on to call her crazy. I also read that, so this is what I read, I think from like a Yahoo thing. In 1983, he hired Colquenka. Betty became suspicious of the affair. Her husband firmly denied the accusations and he would totally gaslight her. He was like, you're crazy. He also called her old, fat, ugly, boring, and stupid.
Wow.
And that year, Betty survived a suicide attempt. And I read two different things where because Betty went on to it kind of unraveled her a bit. And I heard that she
a
saw
bit.
A bit. Is she?
An understatement.
She drove her car through their house.
But that was only after he sold the house from under her nose. Yeah, so basically, Sarah. This is what I'm saying. Like, it became a whole fucking thing. But Betty was starting to lose her shit. But
I love
Betty
that you're, like, kind of drinking this woman's Kool-Aid. Like, I love a revenge plot as much as the next woman. But, like, Betty's reactions are pretty extreme.
She doesn't stick to totally land.
No, but he also just completely gaslit her. He
totally,
made the,
totally.
I mean, he made.
But the I've been divorce. Gaslit in a relationship, and I didn't drive my car through their house. So, like,
we live in the city, we don't have cars.
Yeah, but
I did
listen,
have a car,
Sarah,
I was in Atlanta.
But you had never been married for 20 years to have this happen to you, so you don't actually know, right? Also, this man, when we get down to the divorce proceedings, he purposely made the divorce proceedings go on for years just to fuck her out of money. So. Listen,
maybe
there's two sides to every story.
I support her. I just think she's like obviously an unreliable narrator.
100%. 100%. So like, I also don't think that the Linda deserved to get what she got because it's really has nothing to do with her. But I'm just saying, I feel as though the unraveling, I'm sure, after 20 years, four kids, supporting this guy until he got rich, and then he gets rich and leaves you for a 21-year-old, I'd be like, no, bitches are dying today.
Oh, I would be mad too.
I'd be so mad. So, yeah. So Betty becomes a bit unraveled, as I've said. Yes. And then they started to have a bunch of issues, obviously, that led to Dan moving out in 1985. And after he said all this stuff to her, he called her crazy. He did all this stuff. He admitted that he was having an affair with her. So she wasn't
like
crazy.
Duh.
Yes, but this whole thing, like the whole. Wait, let me see. Hold on, Danny. You put a part. Yeah, you did. Okay. So he did admit that he did have an affair. A hostile divorce ensued. It was Broderick versus Broderick, which was known as one of the worst divorce cases in San Diego County, mainly because, like we said, since she supported him before he made his money, it became a huge point of contention of, like, what are the rights to somebody who supports the family through this time? And I don't actually know what, I don't actually know what the conclusion of that was or what like came out of this, but I know that the reason why this case got so big was because they were like, well, she supported him and then he got money and then he took it off. Like it became a huge case. And everyone in La Jolla also knew the couple. They were a classic society page marriage with Dan ranking in $1 million a year. Like, so this was not only a case.
They were like
what
everywhere.
Happens here.
Country
they were like
club.
Poster children. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
So this is when Betty kind of goes off the rocker a little bit. She, so as we said, she drove the car into the house after he sold her house without her knowing. She would spray paint the interior of his $325,000 hillside home. And she also burned his clothes, which yes. I heard.
That was, before the divorce. I thought that was when she suspected them of having the affair. She took
What happened was it was his 38th birthday and she was waiting for him to come home and he decided to go out and party with Linda instead. So she grabbed all his car. She grabbed his clothes. And that was when they were still married because the kids saw.
Because that's really fucked up.
The kids were like, what are you doing? And she's like burning his clothes. Yeah. So she would, she also would leave obscene messages on his answer machine. She was taunting him essentially. She was painting his house. She was leaving messages. She would write God where his name should be on all the court documents. Cause I think, obviously she thought that that's what he thought he was. She also says that Dan used his legal influence to win sole custody of their children, sell their house and basically bilk her out of her rightful share of the income. More than once, Betty told her children that she would kill their father. That's a bit of foreshadowing. But Dan had Betty arrested, jailed, and even sent to a hospital where all she had to do was make forks. Mental hospital. I'm sorry. I can never read in the fucking morning. But I also read that
it is 11:42 a.m.
Yeah, I woke up at 10. He sent her to a mental hospital and then sent her the bill.
Yep.
Well, he would do the shady stuff too, where eventually she was awarded a good bit for child support. Like she was getting between at first, I think 9 and then up to 16 grand a month.
Yeah. But they said that was almost all for her house.
Yeah. But then he would dock her money. Like he would start withholding money. Mm-hmm. Like if she would leave them a voicemail, if she would do certain things, which I'm like, I don't think you can just do that. This is not an allowance, but he treated it like it was an allowance and he could use his discretion to pay her out. Apparently one time she would call and threaten them so much that she ended up $1,300 in the negative, which again, I don't think that a judge would be that's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm not a judge, so. Yeah.
They just block her number.
I can't say for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you have stars? So he would do some fucked up stuff.
Yeah. But it did obviously it hit a point where they actually, Dan and Linda, at this point now, after he moved out and he said, I am, having an affair with her, they did move in together and they lived together and it did get pretty scary for them. The divorce became finalized in 1989. And in that same year, he married Linda, but Linda was like this bitch is crazy. And she was like, Dan, I think you should wear a bulletproof vest to the nuptials. And he was like, I'm not going to do that, but they did up security at the wedding. Nothing ended up happening at the wedding, but I just think about the anxiety. Could you imagine being a bride being like, I hope somebody doesn't come and try to kill my husband today. Right.
Imagine, that's
Then try to find a wedding dress that fits you nice, but also can be bullet resistant. That's harsh.
Yeah.
David's exactly. Bridles don't got that.
Exactly. And having to bring the dress in when all you're doing is holding your breath the entire time. It's right? just, it's a wild ride. So Betty, though, she says that Linda was also kind of fucking with her. She claims that Linda, after she was married to Dan, used to send Betty face creams and slimming treatment ads to her. Like,
she also, Betty also said that Linda sent her a picture of her and Dan and wrote, like, eat your heart out, bitch, on it.
Oh, my God. But, like,
Linda's friends all denied that. And, like, I would love to see that if it existed.
I feel like truly. I didn't know how to, like, send mail until age 26. So I don't believe, because she was, like, 23, 24 probably.
Yeah, but this was, like, the 80s when you could only communicate through the mail.
I know. I was just thinking about that. I'm like, how do you have an affair without a cell phone? Like, I mean, obviously she worked with him, but like, yeah, but I mean, like, how crazy? Like, so then he would just go, like, they would have no communication when they were at home or something. Not that I'm saying everybody should have an affair, but like, it just seems like it was a lot.
Cell phones have really done wonders for the affair industry.
Harder to do.
Cell phones and Airbnbs, yeah.
Cell phones and Airbnbs. I mean, hotels always be having affairs.
That's true. So this is not the Betches Brides podcast. We did not just do this talk about the wedding because unfortunately the main issue, the main event happens after their nuptials. So in November of 1989, so the same year that the divorce was finalized, they got married, end of the year, November 1989, Dan sent Betty legal papers threatening to file criminal contempt charges unless she stopped leaving all these messages and just kind of like, they just wanted peace and quiet. Dan and Linda wanted to start a new life without Betty in it.
I also read that Linda had wanted to get Dan to like file some kind of restraining order, but Dan like didn't want to do that because she was the mother of his children.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard when you're juggling custody of like all these kids as well.
Yeah. I also forgot to mention that I think Betty also was kind of pissed. She felt Dan wasn't like being as involved with the parents, so she would drop off the kids at his new house one by one.
Yes.
Like, for them to, like, live with him. But then they fought over custody, so I don't exactly know, but I think she was just trying to make a crazy statement.
Betty didn't think everything through.
So she did not.
In her head, I feel like that was, like, a statement for her. But she also kind of knew that she was, because this was going on for, like, over 5 years now.
Yeah.
She was tired of fighting, and she apparently said in the LA Times said that she felt going to court against him was like putting a housewife in the ring with Muhammad Ali, because he obviously is a legal expert and he had
all. Yeah, and at this point he was president of the Bar Association, and like a lot of his friends were judges.
So,
and I think at one point in the divorce? No, this was the trial later. But yeah, so he like really was super well connected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on Sunday, November 5th, so apparently November 1989, that was a Friday. So the Friday they got the file, the criminal contempt charges papers were sent to Betty. That Sunday, she got dressed, went to Dan and Linda's home in Marston Hills in San Diego, and used the oldest daughter's keys to get into their house. She climbed the stairs, went into the master bedroom, and started to fire real fast with no hesitation at all. She missed a few times, but then she shot Linda's head and chest, killing her instantly, hit Dan in the chest. And apparently she later on said that after she shot him, he was reaching for the phone, which she pulled out of the wall. So the phone was disconnected. And his final words were allegedly, "Okay, you shot me. I'm dead."
Ooh.
Whew. After contacting her oldest daughter and her boyfriend to be like, hey, honey, just so you know, I did a thing. Secret project revealed. I did kill your father and your stepmom. She immediately turned herself in. Known, obviously, because they were known in town for years with this messy divorce, and they were just very kind of affluent in the town. Everyone knew about the murder instantly.
Yeah.
It even was kind of a weird thing that Dan even said, because Betty told the kids that she wanted to kill him. Dan even was telling people that she was determined to kill him. Nothing would stop her. And also, this is just a random fact that I found that...
I love that you put this in.
She had a license plate that said, load him up.
Oh boy.
What does that mean? I don't even know.
Oh boy, load them up. But
load them up.
That's a weird thing, but I also read that she had told the cops that she didn't plan on going in there, you know, to kill him. She wanted them to listen to her, and her plan was actually just to commit suicide and splash her brains all over his goddamn house. Unquote.
Huh. Well, that's one way to do it.
Yeah. So
that was, yeah, that was her argument, was that she didn't, like, it wasn't premeditated, yeah. Which, sure. But then a lot of people would say that the fact that she took the phone off the hook, yeah, because Dan seems... died slowly, like, it did take him a few minutes to, like, bleed out, I guess. And so the fact that, like, she took the phone off the wall, or whatever, so that he couldn't call for help was, like,
and like broken.
Feels a little.
So it's sort of overnight, she kind of became like this national symbol of like rage and revenge, because it's weird because it on flip sides showed husbands in the town were kind of joking, being like, "It's be nice to my wife week," which is kind of weird. And also there was
the ex-wife week. I read that comment.
Yeah. And
be
then
nice to my ex-wife
week. It was there was another thing of people being kind of like, oh, what drew her to this point? Like, women were kind of relating to it in a way that really was that inspired by it, but just it kind of struck a nerve with a lot of people. Betty also told the LA Times that if Dan had settled the divorce to her liking, she said, "I would have been fine. I would have had my house, my kids. I would have still worn a size 6. I would have done my superior dance," which same girl.
Okay, Betty. Want to know what this is?
Yeah.
Have we Googled superior dance? Was it like a thing in the
80s? I think it's like the savage dance.
Ooh.
I'm superior. Cooking, children, Avon.
There we go.
Subware.
Load them up.
Load them up. Superior dance. I don't.
Driving my car through the front door.
Yeah.
What's happening?
His clothes. Burned him. Burned his clothes. Got him.
Excellent.
Here's the thing.
Can we just talk
Beyonce
about
who?
Can we just talk about that dance on TikTok? Like, about how kids like get their dads to like perform. Like,
wait,
like they get their parents
to
perform
video?
With them.
It's so funny about it's the only TikTok I care about. It's this guy who's like joking about what it's like to be a parent in the age of these dances, and the kid is like, "Savage, classy, bougie, ratchet." And the dad is like, "Wait, no. What is that? What are you doing?"
That's like, I was trying to make like a joke to be like, I couldn't even imagine telling my parents, like being like, "Dad, okay, so you're a savage, bougie, ratchet, classy, what's happening?" Like, he'd be like, "Go outside. Like, I don't want to dance with you."
Also, some of these moms on TikTok can like booty pop and dance way better than me. And I'm like, what gave you the right?
Yeah. How dare you?
These white moms are twerking. And I'm like, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
Not just they shouldn't do that also.
How can they do that? I don't know how to do that. Fuck it. Makes me insecure.
I was showing TikTok to Robbie yesterday. He's like, so it's just the same songs and videos over and over. I'm like, yeah.
I have watched this one girl who's great and it's so captivating, but she's done at least like 10 Savage videos and I watch every single one. And it's all the same choreography. Well, it always comes up in my homepage. So I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to watch Candace do the Savage dance in a different outfit this time. It's always the same. Yes.
Candace would. Candace
is really good,
though. Candace would be doing that.
Load them up.
They'd be doing that.
That's a new one.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I saw this girl on there who's like 25 with 5 kids, and that I thought that was interesting. Yeah, 2 sets of twins.
Ugh, Jesus.
She ticked and talked. Yeah, there we go.
2 sperms, 1 egg.
Thank you. Thank you for explaining that to me, of all people.
Wait, Sarah, I didn't know that you were a triplet.
Oh, really?
Until you posted that.
A lot of people
TikTok.
Were like, wait, what? And I was like, I've known you for years. Has this really never come up?
Oh, no, it hasn't. I definitely went down a thing. I'm like, wait a second. And like scrolled through everything to find your other sister. I was like, why has Sarah been keeping this from us? Sarah's a triplet, you guys.
Yes.
It's wild to me.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
I guess.
I mean, it is what it is, but it's just wild. I just didn't know.
Yeah, I know. It's weird that never came up, but like, I don't know why it would.
Well, I guess you did bring her up during the Denver Air episode.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe not in the context does live of there. Like, just sister. Yeah.
That's true. She did also send me, the last time she was at the Denver airport, she sent me a picture of Lucifer.
Oh, God.
What a guy.
Anyway. TikTok triplets, back to your regularly scheduled.
Back to murder.
That was your commercial break.
That TikTok was.
Triplets and trials. Boom.
That was. Now that we've lost everyone, here's what happened with the trial. It was actually super interesting. Betty's lawyer was Jack Early, and he used the defense that she was a battered wife who was driven over the edge after years of abuse. I read that she said that it was really mostly just emotional abuse. Danny, you said here that it was mental and physical. Well,
that's what the lawyer claimed, that it was mental. Yeah. Like, the lawyer was like, it was mental, it was physical, it was emotional, it was all
got it, got it, all the things. I mean, interesting, because her kids would allege that she physically would abuse them sometimes. So, interesting. And then on the flip side, the state of California said she was a cold-blooded killer who planned this out, and the battery was made up. They brought up that she was getting $16,000 a month in alimony, which, damn, and was also living in a $650,000 beachfront property that Dan bought her. The other thing is that, like, while Dan was having this affair, Betty also apparently had a boyfriend, but she would kind of claim that it was that the guy was sort of like a companion that she kept around that she never like had relations with, and she was like, "I'm not that kind of woman. I was still married," and it's like, sis, he was.
I like how she's sleeping over. Basically.
She called him a dog. Truly. She was like, he's like a dog. And I was like, okay.
Aww, honey, you put some peanut butter for your dog. Let me tell you that.
I forgot what his name was. In my head, it's Brad, but I don't think it was Brad.
Betty and Brad?
I don't think it was Brad. I think I'm making that up. But anyways, so that's Betty. Her explanation so she would have two trials. Her explanation at both was that she never planned to kill Dan and Linda. Mm-hmm. Her crime was not premeditated. Yeah, and she just kind of said that she just, like, had no thought process or plan, immediately fired the gun, walked in and started shooting.
Sure. Yeah, she said she was startled by Linda, which is so weird, because, like, you knew that she would be...
You walked into her bedroom, like...
Yeah.
Because, I don't know.
Yeah, but that because Linda was like, call the cops, and Betty was like, oh, and then... You know, right. You get scared. You know how you get scared to make that noise?
Yeah, it was very Days of Our Lives.
It is very Days of Our Lives.
Yeah. So her first trial ended with the hung jury and then a mistrial because they couldn't get a unanimous verdict. Two of the jurors held out for a manslaughter charge, citing a lack of intent.
And one of those jurors would go on, I guess, was quoted as saying, like, what took her so long? Like, after hearing the evidence, they were like, what took her so long to kill him?
Yeah, I mean, this was, like, this trial, Danny, as you kind of mentioned, like, really resonated with a lot of people because, like, a lot of... Basically, Betty was kind of saying that Dan was pulling all this, like, manipulative stuff and using his knowledge of the legal system to really, like, totally screw her over, which I would buy. And so a lot of women, like, really resonated with this, and they were like, nobody talks about how, like... You know, their husbands were able to just, like, manipulate the divorces to, like, leave them high and dry. Her first trial ended up in a mistrial because of a hung jury, because two jurors held out for manslaughter, citing that there was a lack of intent and it wasn't a premeditated murder.
Right. And one of the jurors was actually quoted in saying, like, I can't believe it took her this long. Like, I can't believe it took her this long to, like, kill him, which is interesting.
Oh, yeah, because... What she had been claiming and what resonated with a lot of people was how Dan was, like, this high-powered attorney. He was able to kind of, like, manipulate the legal system almost because of his knowledge to really just screw her completely in the divorce. And a lot of women were like, yeah, this happened to me and nobody really talks about it.
Right, right. I found this thing that kind of explains a little bit about the legal process that he kind of, like, took her through. I'm just going to read it. I just copied it. I think, again, from, like, this Yahoo article, or it might've been from the Murderpedia, but I think it was from Yahoo, but anyways,
Dan dragged the divorce out for 4 years on purpose. In California, there was a little-known legal concept called Epstein credits, which worked to thwart any financial settlement entitled to Betty. By the time the divorce trial had come to fruition because of Epstein credits, Betty's share of community property had been substantially reduced. Epstein credits are a provision under California divorce law which says that the supporting spouse, in this case Dan, may charge the dependent spouse, Betty, for one half of all community debts accumulated, not from the date of the divorce, but from the date of the separation. If there is a substantial amount of time in the interim, a dependent spouse may actually accumulate enough Epstein credits to effectively cancel out any share of the community property, which might have been forthcoming had the divorce been finalized immediately after the separation. So he's just fucking out of money.
Okay, so I got bored and confused just listening to that. So
right, it's not done yet. At the end,
oh my God.
I know.
Imagine what Betty had to do.
I also hope they changed the name of it now.
Epstein.
It's the
yeah.
Epstein? I truly. Was like, that didn't age.
Epstein. It's Epstein. At the end of the 8-day trial, Judge William Howitt accepted all of Dan's proposed numbers and ruled that Betty owed Dan $750,000 in Epstein's and cash advances all accrued between the time Dan moved out to the date of and the date of the divorce, which was filed on January 30th, wow. 1989. And so in the end, Dan Broderick, a multimillionaire and the father of Betty's four children, was ordered to pay his wife of 20 years less than $30,000 in cash. In addition, Dan was awarded custody of the children, and Betty was devastated that her life was over. So again, he used this weird loophole in the California divorce law system to essentially fuck her over and not have to like give her anything. And not have to like share any of that. Like it truly is. It's just like an abuse of his knowledge and her kind of not
clout
knowing.
And like that.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally fucked up. So yeah, he's got all this money and he was like, ah, you know what? I'm just going to keep docking all this from you and then not have to give you anything because of this weird time loophole. You're muted, Sarah.
Thank you. Yeah, so then Betty went to trial again, and the second time the jury returned a verdict of 2 counts of second-degree murder. She was sentenced to 2 consecutive terms of 15 to life, and then 2 extra years for illegal use of a firearm. I mean, sure.
I know, that one. That
two
one
life sentences, but like really those 2 years are really going to make or break. She's currently serving her time at the California Institute for Women. She filed for parole once in January 2010. She was denied because she showed no remorse. And an interesting thing, too, in, like, both articles that Amy Wallace has written is, like, she always says that even when she was on trial, she would, like, refer to Dan in the first person and, like, direct – or not the first person, I'm sorry, in the present tense. Mm. And, like, she would talk about him and, like, talk about and be angry at all the things he had done, but – still refer to it in the present tense as if like it was still going on.
Yeah,
like
she's
still
not
had
it.
All this anger to direct to him.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was like interesting. And then her parole got denied again in November of 2011 and also January 2017. She won't be eligible again until January 2032. Which I don't even know if the world is gonna last that long.
Betty, don't hold up hope.
Yeah. I also, I read that her kids are like kind of a little split on how they feel about it. Like I read that her, like one of her daughters will go visit her, but like won't write a letter to help her get released.
And then also her parents wouldn't show up at her trial.
Oh.
Betty had said that they kind of just like, well, Betty claims that once she got divorced, her parents kind of just like washed their hands of her and they were like, no, we don't want anything to do with her.
Betty.
And they wouldn't even like show up at her trial to like support her. Then again, she was on trial for a double homicide.
Yeah. It's intense. That she admitted to doing.
Right. So I don't know.
I know.
I wonder if she's going to get all the interviews that'll probably be rolling in for her now when the show comes out too.
And she's not shied away from interviews before. She's been on Oprah. She's been on Hard Copy. Like she's given a million interviews. Like this bitch wants to talk about it. She's like, come on, man. I know her daughter also wrote a book called like My Mother, Betty Broderick or Betty Broderick, My Mother, which would be interesting to see from that point of view. Like
murder books are always that. It's always like my mother, Betty or Betty, my mother. And it's just like,
he killed me. I love him.
That's actually my memoir. Out this fall.
I'm literally dead. He loved me.
Beyond the grave.
Oh my God, I'm dying right now.
I'm literally dying. But I think two of her other kids were pretty supportive of her being paroled. And then one of them had like I think I read that one of the daughters had an estranged relationship with either one or both of them because of drugs. There was something involved there. I didn't dig too much deeper into
the I think Dan had initially disowned one of them. Oh, and then there was a whole thing about how one of the daughters had gotten pregnant and the family kind of tried to disown her and like make an example out of her, even though Betty had gotten an abortion because she didn't want a fifth kid or something like that.
I mean, do we need to do a part two called Dirty John, Betty Children?
Maybe. Dirty John, Betty, Kim, whatever the other names are.
Rhett. Dan. Yeah.
It's a country band, honestly.
Yeah.
It truly is. Somebody I know. Give once you Rhett name your kid a banjo.
Rhett. Exactly. Rhett. Oh, boy. But yeah, I don't know. There were just like a lot of like, I feel like Betty like kind of says/thinks that she was in this like Leave It to Beaver marriage, but then no, actually like she would do this and that. And like this also other crazy shit happened. There's like, I don't know. There's this really good LA Times article.
I know
that you guys should all
keep
read.
Rubbing it in. If you can, it in, Sarah.
It's called Till Murder Do Us Part. So Google it. It's like, you know, as the LA Times tends to do, it's like 9 years long. You know,
wait, is that one about her? Cause I feel like I read that one.
You would know if you read it, cause it's really long. And it's like this reporter, Amy Wallace, like goes and talks to Betty and talks to Dan's family and talks to like all these people and kind of paints this picture of like what was going on.
Yeah.
I'm also excited to see because this is what always happens with TV versions, what they get wrong and what they leave out.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I love the articles.
Oh, well, they're definitely
going
to play this up. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to see the scene where she inevitably drives her car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. This one is just like, it's interesting because it is kind of open and shut. It's like she admitted to it. There's no like, did she or did she not? I think the main thing is just like what she endured mentally from him. You know, and I mean, obviously, like I said, nothing really justifies murder. And I think Linda is an innocent person. Even if she was taunting, it just doesn't even feel like it fits the thing. But this is going to be hard for me to admit. Danny, after we were talking about Stassi and Lala Kent yesterday, I listened to Stassi's podcast with Lala.
Wait, I did too, and I recorded it.
Because it's so bad.
I might write an article on this later, thank you for reminding me to do that.
It's so entitled. But she did say something about being a younger woman with a divorced guy that I thought actually was, after everything she said and how entitled she sounded, there was something that I thought was very fair in there, that she was like, you know, when two people get divorced, if the woman finds another man, it's like, good for her, go girl. But if the man finds another woman, and just because she's younger, she becomes a whore. And so, I mean, obviously this Lala's husband is fucking
we
so
do a whole
rich,
episode on this whole like Lala thing, because she really has taunted his ex-wife on Instagram before, but seems to have like grown up since then. But right.
Singularly as a sentence, the phrase that like, we're so happy when women find somebody else and we're like, good for them. But if a man moves on with a younger person, we immediately are like, she's a whore, she's a bitch, when like that really isn't a fair. Like, so that's why I say Linda seems like an innocent, I mean, seems like that part is just kind of like,
I know what
sucks.
He was married when they started fooling around, which is like the one caveat.
Exactly that's what I was gonna say. It's not like he just moved on. It's like he was cheating.
No, but it's he's more to blame than her.
I know she was sleeping with a married man, yes, which is all bad. But I also think that like that is a judgment call on his part that he decided. We also like, who knows what the ins and outs of that? Who knows if he even told her at first that he was married? Like who? We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Come on, exactly. She had to have known they were in the society pages together.
I mean, but at 21, are you reading the society pages? I'm not. I'm reading Us Weekly.
Maybe.
And maybe he had pictures of the kids. Who knows? It's interesting.
But maybe he did it.
Who knows?
I don't know. I just feel bad. I don't think any of this thinks murder, but I don't like that he gaslit Betty, and I don't like that she killed them. You know,
and I don't like that Lala Ken
went out with the hot takes again, not condoning murder.
Don't like murder, don't like gaslighting.
To your followers.
Did you learn that back watching Stassi's podcast? You're like, I learned a good point, like murder is bad.
Oh my God. It was like, I can't even believe how out of touch that podcast was, that episode was.
Yeah.
Please, if you want something, if you need something to make you feel putrid, listen to this podcast. And I don't dislike either one of them, but you listen to them talk and you're like, what the fuck is even going on in your lives?
Nothing.
I know. It's wow. Anyway.
Well.
Don't do murder. Stassi and Lala can't want Pico de Gallo. That's all I can say.
Okay.
Wow.
Do you remember that part?
Yeah.
Any hot takes from you guys? Murder is bad as mine. Go.
Murder
try to beat it.
Is bad.
Try to beat it. Try to beat
it. Murder is bad. I don't know. I mean, reading this article was like a wild ride. Like, part of me was like, you go, girl. And part of me was like,
I know.
I don't know about any of this.
I know. I also just, I just couldn't imagine being married to somebody for 20 years. Devoting, like, trying to do everything you could to make him successful, and then the minute he got successful, for him to absolutely just dump you, and then that part I read when he was like, "You're fat, stupid, ugly, and dumb, and I'm not cheating on you. You're fucking crazy." And then for it actually all to be true just makes me feel like, God, Dan, like, you started off as this cute guy, maybe doctor almost or whatever, doctor maybe guy, and then you just turn into this douche, you know?
I mean, I'm reading this book right now that is. I always happen to be reading a thriller that's what we're talking about, but it's like this super, it's called The Golden Cage, Camilla Lockberg. But
I just saw that you posted about that. I took a screenshot because you said it was really good.
Yes, it's excellent so far. I'm almost done. But it's kind of, I mean, it's about this these people who meet, they're both super smart. He's like charismatic. She helps him build this like giant conglomerate company. He convinces her to become a stay-at-home mom. Then he demands a divorce and is like, well, you're not getting anything because you haven't been doing anything this whole time. You've been shopping and doing yoga. And like, what the fuck have you been doing? Well, I've been working. And it's like,
ooh,
bro, I gave up my entire career. Fuck you. So anyways, like, I feel like this kind of stuff does happen.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine like the rage I would feel.
How scary though. Could you imagine like being like, hey, I'm in this relationship with this guy. He loves me. He says, hey, I'll take care of you forever. So I like allow that to happen. And then they just cut you off, leave you.
And this is why I have trust issues.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying, especially because I'm sure that, you know, you leave the woman at a point in the divorce where it's probably not as easy to bounce back when you're like older and you haven't been doing a career for a while. Like, and then also like everything's updated and changed. And then you're trying to get back into a field that you probably have no idea how to even use the fucking software, the computers, or do TikTok. You know, it's just like.
TikTok is the hardest part of a divorce. Yeah.
TikTok is the hardest part of the divorce.
TikTok is the hardest part.
Cause you just gotta come up with life a song. Cause you're like, you're in your life and you're like, I have enough love that I don't need the likes on TikTok. And then all of a sudden
you do,
you don't have that. And now you need TikTok.
It all comes back to TikTok.
It sure does. I'm going through it.
Danny, right, I feel now. Like you haven't given any thoughts.
My main thought is that, I do. I think that it's sort of, should she take it too far? Yes. Do I get where she was pushed there? I feel like this is a part where like she could have had I would have liked if she just like moved to a whole new town, started fresh, and like became a lawyer herself. Do you know what I mean? Became a divorce lawyer for
ooh, really? A true Legally Blonde story.
Yes, very Legally Blonde.
That would have been good. Yeah. I agree with you. I think a lot of people just kind of like identified with that rage that she felt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully Lala Kent doesn't pull a Betty.
Well, if anything, it would be Amber. What's her name?
That girl from You.
Childers.
Yeah.
Which, nah. She's thriving.
She's thriving.
I love Amber. I don't know why.
I like her. I don't mind a La La Kent either. I don't like that she went out for Memorial Day weekend, but besides that.
Yeah.
Well, she talked about it on the podcast, how she was like going to Arizona because she needed to go out. She was going to Arizona because things are open there.
She thinks coronavirus is a myth. So
She does. I recorded it on my phone. So I was like, they might take this down. I need this sound bite. Doing some journalism.
I know. But then her point after that was like, well, if La La Kent has power to tell people that this virus is a myth, then we're all fucked. And I was like,
she's such an asshole. I'm like, girl, you have like a million followers.
There's that as well. Yeah. Well,
people are like immensely stupid.
People want
to. She has a ton of followers. Yeah, let me look it up.
People want to give them La La.
Oh my God.
I do feel like we fully derailed hard.
Yeah, sorry, guys. No, not really.
I do know the song that kind of fits with her, and it's Carrie Underwood Before He Cheats.
Excellent.
Our cases have songs now, so that is Betty Before He Cheats.
Do you guys want to sing us out? I will not partake.
Which verse are we doing?
I dug my key into the side of this pretty little souped-up four-wheel drive. Dug my name into his leather seat.
And then she used that car to go through his.
And then she drove it through his fucking house.
That's the remix. That's the Betty remix.
That's the Betty remix.
Excellent. Well, I think that's it for this week.
Excellent.
Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Betches.